Amen. Thanks, brother. I appreciate that special there, brother. Also, sister, thanks for filling in and on a short notice for as a pianist accompanist. So we appreciate that. Church family, thank you. Thank you so much. You have been a blessing to us, and we hope that we've been a blessing to you. That is always our goal, as one, to be a blessing to the pastor and his church, and also share our burden. That's always our goal. So, very excited for what the Lord has in store for us. Again, like I said this morning, the opportunity to continue ministering to the missionary or the military families over there. 2004, I felt the Lord calling me to be a missionary or pastor or a preacher. 2015, we didn't know to whom, we didn't know to where, and so we've been praying about that. 2015, I was up for E8. Senior Mass Sergeant in the Air Force, and I was up for Mass Sergeant. Thank you, honey. And I didn't make it. And I had two text messages from two airmen, and they texted me, and they said to me how upset they were that I didn't make rank. But being mindful that if I would have made rank, I would have been moved from my position and probably put in some back office job or something on staff or something. And I wouldn't have that influence on at least those two airmen anymore. I called Linnell on the way home. I was in tears. And guys, you know, the women, they don't want to influence the guy in any way. And I shared with her, I said, I know who. To whom? And I said, the military. And she said, Rob, it's been in front of your face the whole time. I was like, yes, it has. Yes, ma'am. 2018, I had a short notice deployment, vacation, as Linnell would say, to Germany. And I actually visited the church that we're going to partner with. And I sat down with Dr. Wood for about 3 hours. And I shared this with Pastor today. I had asked him before leaving our meeting, I said, what's one thing that I can pray for you? And he said, you know what, Rob? Here's the thing. And I shared this morning. The military families, they're there from 1 to 3 years, and then they're gone. And he said, I get so discouraged when these families end up leaving. Because if they're running a minister, they're overseeing a ministry in the church, then that continuity is not there. And so it's a constant replant and trying to get somebody to take that ministry over. And he said, that's one of the things. So I took some time when I got back and I prayed. I prayed about it. She was praying the same time that I was. And then we both talked. And we both were feeling the same thing and felt that the Lord was calling us to Germany. So we know, back in 2004, my calling. And we're a team, so our calling. 2015, who? And now we know where. So be praying for us. If you didn't pick up a prayer card, Miss Dotson has some in the back over there. Pick up a prayer card, pray for us as we head out. So tonight's message, Mark 16:15. How many are been in the military here or served? thank you for your service. However long it was, thank you for your service. Appreciate it. We definitely have a heart for our military. So Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission. Right there. To go and preach the gospel. I'm going to go ahead and pray before we get right into the message tonight. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together, this fellowship. We thank you for the many hands that prepared the meal tonight. Bless them abundantly. We thank you for the church being a blessing, the pastor being a blessing to us. And Lord, just continue to be with the pastor as he leads this flock. We lift him up. We pray for him. We just ask your healing on him. We thank you for this church as it continues to go out and reach a lost and dying world. And Lord, just use me tonight. Lord, just work through me. Give me the words to convey your message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I had to title this message, I would title it God's Op Order. Well, op order is abbreviation for operation order, is what we used in the military. And some of you that were in the military remember that. In the military, we have plans, a path, and a goal of what we are trying to reach. So many times in my career field, my second career field in the military, anytime that we plan for a convoy, we always plan for how many people were going, how many vehicles we were taking, weapons, etc. But then also we were planning our primary route to whatever objective and our alternate route to that objective. And then our return back as well. But then we also plan for any encounters that we might end up crossing. We might take some fire. So we always plan for that. I used to love it after an op order, and I'll share with you what that was, but I used to love after the op order, the airmen and the junior NCOs getting together and putting together the sand tables and planning the routes and all that stuff. I used to love it. I just watch it, and I was like, they got it. And I would go to the convoy commander and say, sir, they're ready. They've got it. So right before an op order, we always had the warning order, right? The warning order, or WARNO, we called it, the abbreviation for. Usually the leadership would get with us, or get with the senior leadership and brief what the situation was, what was going on, and then they would come back, and then we'd all gather, and there'd be a bunch of us in there for the operation order. Well, the operation order had five parts to it. The first part was your situation. An example, we could have a down pilot. We've got to go rescue that pilot. So the situation was, on such and such date, at this time we had a pilot that ended up crashing here, and now we've got to go rescue him. The second part was the mission. The mission, brother, was very easy to brief. So what we did was we always broke it up. There was always five people that had each part of this op order. Situation was easy. The mission was really easy. So, brother, when you got up to brief that, it was real easy. All you had to do is get up there and say, here's the mission. The mission is to go rescue that pilot. The execution, the third part, I did not like this one very much. Because these operation orders, you could be in there for an hour or if not more. And always when we started an operation order, we always checked our time and that everybody was on the same time. The execution was basically the planning. How we were going to rescue this pilot. Everything that was going to be involved in that. The fourth part was the service and support. The service and support could be, we've got a canine team that's going to be attached to us. They're going to be going with us. The pilot went down, could be injured, so we might have some medics that's going with us to care for. If not, we were going to have to do it. So we always had to take litters and all that stuff with us. A litter is basically the gurney or whatever to put them on. Or the bag, the med bag. And then support could be, there's other units that are in the area that can help support us if we come under fire. The fifth part was our command and control. Our command and control was our convoy commander all the way down to the lowest ranking airman, soldier, whoever's with us. And they would all be in this operation order. So the same as in life too. We have an op order. We have God's operation order. We have an op order from God. And it's given right here in the Bible what we're supposed to do. So just like the military op order, we have God's op order that deals with, one, the situation. The situation, there are people out there that are dying, that are lost. Every day. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Here's some statistics for you. On average, 2 people die per second. 6,392 per hour. 4,679,452 per month. 56 million people die per year worldwide. So, many of those are dying without Christ. Many are dying without even having an idea of what their eternity is. Some die without any hope. So we have the situation. The mission is simple. The mission God has given us is simple. Reach the lost for Christ. God told us that in Mark 16:15. We are to tell others about the love of God and the sacrifice that Christ has made for us on the cross. Everybody knows this verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The third part, again from Mark 16:15, the execution. The execution is to go. He tells us to go. This is a small two-letter word, but means more than just go. Our hearts need to be part of this execution. If our hearts are not part of it, we get discouraged and we quit. This is not just a verse for pastors, church staff, missionaries, church workers, but everyone who is a child of God. It is for men, women, teenagers, boys, and girls. We are all to tell the lost about, one, what Christ did for us on the cross. Two, how they can receive eternal life. We need to tell the lost, one, at home. I don't know about you, but I've got some lost relatives. I shared this morning, I was raised Catholic. A lot of my folks, my relatives, are not saved. We've been witnessing to them. My mom's become really curious. For a long time there, I think it was, 13 years, I haven't had a relationship with my relatives because of my conversion. But starting to build that relationship again. A second place is at work. Co-workers, even though you might not like them so much, but we still need to reach them as well. I give an example. When I was deployed to Afghanistan, I tried to do the E7, the mass sergeant duty, take the young lieutenant under my wing and show him the way, and this lieutenant didn't want to hear me. But I still continued to witness to him, to share him, with him the gospel. There's not many young folks in here, maybe a few, but school. In our schools, that's another area that we need to reach. Everywhere we go, the store, the gas station, restaurants. Have you ever been at the gas station and pumping, and there's somebody on the other side, and the Lord says, hand them a tract. Hand them a tract. I've had that happen plenty of times. How do we tell them? Like I just said, hand them a tract. I was shy. I was shy in high school. I would say probably in the beginning of my military career, I was shy. If you're one of those shy persons, still hand them a tract. Hand them a tract, invite them to church. Have them read it. At least plant that seed. Show them from the Bible and present the gospel to them. Share your personal testimony. Again, when I was first going out and door knocking and witnessing, I was always that praying partner in the back. I was, because I was shy. We were just out in Fort Worth, Texas for a missions conference, and 2 days, one of the days we went out soul winning. We went door knocking. And the associate pastor, I was teamed up with him, and of course he started talking, and then he looked at me and he's like, do you have anything to add? And I was like, yeah. And I shared my testimony. I didn't even know this guy. All I knew was this guy was down from Oklahoma City trying to get this house on a market in Fort Worth. But I shared him my testimony, and that just opened up his eyes. He's just like, oh. Because he was kind of from the same background. Grew up Catholic. So he didn't end up getting saved, but at least the seed was planted. Some people would get discouraged because somebody didn't get saved. Again, that seed was planted. Somebody's going to come through, water it, and somebody's going to harvest it. Just keep praying. Don't get discouraged. Tell them how you got saved and what Christ has done for you through that time. The fourth part, the service and support. your family at home, your relatives, your church family, your service and support. We should all be encouraging each other. Even when we get discouraged. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to pray for each other and be an encouragement. When people ask for prayer about something, pray about it. Many times, it is a request that is a burden on them. I've found myself that as you get older, you forget things, so you have to write stuff down. Sometimes people post on Facebook that they have an urgent prayer. I try to do it right then, because like I said, if I don't do it right then, I'll forget later. So I'll pray right then, and then I'll reply back, prayed. And then I continue to pray about it. But I try to do it right then. Otherwise, like I said, I'll forget. Burdens can cause us to not want to tell others about Christ. We get so focused on our own issues that we're not so concerned about others. Sometimes we have to get discouraged, especially in prayer or when it's soul winning. There's many times that I think when we went out in Fort Worth, when we went soul winning, there was a lot of people that came back that were discouraged. And I just told them, stay on fire. Stay on fire for the Lord. And share the gospel. We may have someone which we have witnessed to many times, but they have not received Christ as their Savior. I share this with you. A few months ago, we were in Hilliard, Florida, and one of my former canine handlers, he had been dealing with a bunch of stuff, a bunch of burdens, and he texted me one day and he said, "Sir, can we meet up next week?" And I said to him, "Yes." I said, "I've got a few things." I said, Can we meet on Friday morning? Can we meet at Cracker Barrel?" Everybody loves Cracker Barrel, right? Love to eat. We're Baptists. We love to eat. So I said, we'll meet up at Cracker Barrel and for breakfast. So I showed up. I think I got there about 15 minutes early. Still got that military mindset, show up early. So I showed up early, and when I got to the parking lot, I prayed. I prayed before I went in there about the meeting. And then right before I got out of my truck, the Lord said, "Take two tracks with you." I was like, okay. So I took the two tracks, put them in my back pocket. I go inside, I get the table, and I sit down, and I prayed again. He shows up and we sit down and he talks with me. He shares with me all the burdens and stuff that's been going on. Now, he just got back from a deployment and he was sent back early because of some stuff that went on. And then they also had a newborn, their first baby. So a lot of stressors there. So right before the meeting ended, he said, "I'm looking for a church." I just looked up and smiled and looked at him. I reached in my back pocket, handed that track to him. I said, "Here's where we're attending." He said, "What times?" I said, "The times are right on the back." So I flipped it over and showed it to him. We were at another meeting. He texted me. He said, this was about, I think, a week later. He texted me. He said, 7 p.m., right, sir?" I said, and they still call me sir. I'm trying to tell them, no, I'm Rob now. So I said, "Yes, yep." So he showed up, and I let some people know ahead of time that he was coming. And they watched out for him. I texted him later and said, "Hey, how'd it go?" He goes, "Wonderful, it was great." So then I think it was another week later, he went on a Sunday, And he said, 11 p.m. or 11 a.m., right, sir? I said, yep. And then that evening, I get a phone call from Pastor Dean. He says, did the name Mitch come to mind? I said, yes, sir. I said, I know that he's been visiting, and I just had a meeting with him. And he's like, yeah. Well, February was Riverside's Missions Month. And so it was a missionary that ended up preaching. But Mitch came down, and he went to Pastor and said, I need to talk with someone. I said, okay. So Pastor Dean shared with me, and he said, yeah, I told him, I said, I'm that someone. So he took him back to his office and let him talk and share what was going on. And the tears were flowing, and he showed him Romans Road. And he said, would you like to be saved? He said, yes, I do. And he said, I wanted to let you know, thank you for watering the harvest, because I was able to harvest the field. I was like, amen. So I later talked with Mitch, and he's doing good. He's doing really good. Pray for his wife. His wife is not saved. Working on her as well. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Keep witnessing. I keep praying for my family. Hoping that maybe somebody will come along and harvest. We may be serving the Lord, but are getting weary. Satan loves to attack when people are weary or discouraged. We need to be there for each other, to encourage each other in the Lord. If you see someone who is getting discouraged, pray for them. Try to encourage them, even if it's just an encouraging word or a hug. I'm a hugger. I love to give hugs. Or letting them just know that you're praying for them. The fifth part of the God's op order, the command and control. Like I said, in the operation order, from the convoy commander all the way down. But who's our commander? He is. God is. He's our command and control. Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. God wants to, he wants to lead and guide us in our path of life. When we allow him to lead and guide our lives, we still may face trials, because the enemy, Satan. But God brings peace and comfort through those situations. He also helps us to have the strength, the boldness to witness to others. Time is short. Time is getting short. Through those doors is a mission field, right here in Land O' Lakes. We do not know how much time is left before he comes. Matthew 24:36, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We need to get busy sharing the gospel with others. Maybe tonight you are here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been putting it off until a later time. You might not have. You might leave tonight, get in a car accident. I plead with you, don't leave tonight if you don't know him. The Bible says that now is the day of salvation, not later. So I ask you, Are you fulfilling God's op order? Are you following His op order? There's a lost and dying world out there that needs us. I'm going to ask you to stand. Bow your head, close your eyes in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Self or again, I ask you just, one, if you don't know Him, grab somebody tonight to show you from Scripture how you can be saved. And then I ask you, what are you doing? Are you following God's op order? Thank you. Pastor.